And grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Congregation may be seated. Well, this morning I would remind everyone that there is an outline of the message in the bulletin, and there's references to the scriptures that I'll reference, so you don't have to worry about trying to write those down or remember them. They're there for you in the bulletin. But I'd like us to go to the prophet Isaiah, the Old Testament reading this morning, from Isaiah 56, and look at verses 1 and 2. And we see these words before us. This is what the Lord says: maintain justice and do what is right, for my salvation is close at hand, and my deliverance will soon be revealed. Blessed is the one who does this, the person who holds it fast, who keeps the Sabbath without desecrating it, and keeps their hands from doing any evil. Well, in the heart of these words, we see those words from the Almighty God: my salvation is close at hand. And you know, as I read that and as God was working in my heart, what really jumped off the page for me was God's statement, close at hand. And it got me to really thinking about what things are close at hand in our lives. Well, there's something really close at hand. I hear a lot about it on the news, and people seem to be pretty excited about it. Sounds like there may be traffic jams on I-25 tomorrow headed up to Wyoming. But one thing that's close at hand is the solar eclipse. And this kind of a unique event doesn't happen very often so close to us. In fact, the next time that it'll actually go through this immediate area is in 2045. Virtus will still be here, but I'm not sure who else will be around at that time. But anyway, eclipses stir up a lot of mystery, I think, even with all our technology today. It stirs up a lot of different emotions. Can you imagine living in a remote area of the world, maybe, you know, one of those tribes in Africa that still hasn't really heard much about the technology of our day, and suddenly it goes dark over their village? I mean, can you imagine the mystery in all of that? And for us, though, we know precisely when it's going to happen, and we know it's close at hand, and there's nothing we can do to prevent it. It's going to happen. It's all by God's design. And so our Lord says, my salvation is close at hand. I want to ask you this morning. So we think of things close at hand. We never know our death. Our last day on this earth could be close at hand. Only God knows when that day will be. But imagine if you knew today would be the last day of your life on this earth, that your death, physical death, is close at hand. Would you change your attitude in the way that you approach life today? How would that look for you in your life? Well, God is very gracious, and as He announced to the Old Testament people, the Israelites, and by the way, God had prophesied to them that they would be taken into captivity, into exile, into Babylon, because of their rebellion against God. But now in this context, God's prophecy is so precise, it's like it's already happened, and now it's on the horizon of God delivering His people and bringing them out of that exile, bringing them back to the promised land. And so there's this excitement about deliverance. It's close at hand, and God announces it. You know, God is so gracious to warn us. It's kind of like the New Testament warning of John the Baptist. Another close at hand. When we go to Matthew chapter 2, or chapter 3, verse 2, John the Baptist, remember, is proclaiming that message of repentance, and he says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. And so here again, we see that nearness, that being close at hand, God informing his people, informing us that we may always be prepared for this salvation, for our Lord's presence among us. And when you think of that word repent, what does that mean to you when you hear it? It really means that we take an inventory of our sinful life, that we recognize how sinful we are, that nothing is hidden from God. He sees it all. He peels away all the layers. And that we then openly acknowledge before God our sinful condition, but also in this repentance that we have the desire that we want to turn away from it. We want to make a 180-degree turn away from whatever that sin is and to turn back to God and his gracious will for our lives. And so with Isaiah, so with John the Baptist, that resounding message that God wants the world to hear is that salvation is near and it's time for a change of heart. And so God describes what that change of heart looks like in verse 1 of our text this morning. And he says, maintain justice and do what is right. Boy, that's not complicated, right? God says to his church then, as he says to his church now, to you and me individually, maintain justice and do what is right. Basically, what God's saying is don't sin. Don't sin, but instead follow my will. And I love how the Lord restates it in verse 2 of our text with regards to the Sabbath. Blessed is the one who does this, the person who holds it fast, who keeps the Sabbath without desecrating it, and keeps their hands from doing evil. You see, here the term Sabbath is very broad, as God uses it. It's not just, okay, you're going to come to worship for an hour on Sunday morning, and then we go on with the busyness of life, and we say, okay, God, I kept the Sabbath. No, the Lord is speaking of a life Sabbath, that our entire life as God's people, living under his covenant, living in his grace, we are Sabbath people. It's who we are. And I think and believe a very beautiful description of what God is speaking of in the Old Testament we can find in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And you see it before you on the screen. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy. God is speaking to the church. He's speaking to you and me who know his mercy. We've experienced it. Our lives have been changed by God's mercy. In view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. And then God goes on to define what this looks like. Do not conform to the pattern of this world. Boy, that's a huge statement, isn't it? And meaning of this world, the unbelieving world. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Boy, that's pretty serious stuff, isn't it? Not to conform to the world which we live in, but instead to be transformed. And the Lord has transformed us through his mercy, but now God is calling upon you and me to live in accordance to what God has done in our lives. To not conform to the world. And yet, living in this sinful, dark world, that's a challenge in our lives. Because you and I have a lot of things that are very close at hand. And I'm just going to put a few of those on the screen this morning. And the first one is pornography. Talk about something very dark and evil that is close at hand. You just have to hit a button on your computer, and you're there. And you know, I think when I was a kid, you know, and the curiosity of a young boy in middle school about that age, and I mean, the only place you could even begin to find something like that is if you snuck into the local liquor store. And there might be magazines on the rack, and if you didn't get caught, you could have a peek. Do you see what's available now? Close at hand. It's right in our kids' bedrooms. It's in our homes. We have access to that everywhere. Or how about this one? And not only on our computers now, everything's on the smartphone, right? A touch of a button. We can gamble online. We have a neighbor, had a neighbor a number of years ago that totally destroyed his family because he got addicted to online gambling and just took his life down financially and took his family down with him. A nice guy. But this was close at hand. And it consumed his life. Or how about the hatred that we've seen? And what a gruesome picture in Charlottesville. Lindy and I have been to Charlottesville. And such a neat little quaint community. And then I think of when we were there and just how peaceful it was. And then to realize that this kind of hatred can happen instantly anywhere. It is very close at hand, whether on a big scale like that, or how about within our own families, how about within relationships that we have with coworkers, in just localized places, in relationships that we're involved in, that can be very close at hand in the way that we see another individual in our lives. And many people go there immediately now. There's no coping skills. They don't have a compass. They don't know God's mercy. But even Christians that live in God's mercy get caught up in this stuff. It's so close at hand to us today. And we could go on with pot and heroin and all of the addictive drugs that are out there. And I mean, the list is unending. There are so many things today that we have access to that are close at hand. Just the push of a button. But here's the real question. Do we as God's people living in His mercy look any different in the world? When people look upon you and me, do they see somebody that's uniquely different? Do they see in you, and I ask myself as well, do they see God's mercy in you? Do they see God's wisdom in you? We live in a dark world, and the Lord has called us to be His light. Think about the Israelites in Babylon. Talk about going to a dark world. Jerusalem's burned down, temple's destroyed, all of the ceremonial law, sacrificial system God commanded is now gone. They're in a foreign land worshiping all kinds of different gods, openly participating in all kinds of dark and evil normal practices for them, and now God's people are right in the mix of them. Do God's people look different in Babylon? I'd encourage you to read the book of Daniel and see what Daniel went through. Because when I read Daniel, I read you and me, because we're living in a very similar time, in a very heathen, dark culture. Do we look different? Would people say to us, wow, that person isn't conforming to what's just the norm today in life. That's kind of strange. I wonder why they don't. And we have the opportunity to explain that to them. Well, how gracious God is to inform us, to warn us, but most of all, to share the good news. My salvation is close at hand. Can you imagine the Israelites in Babylon and they're reading from the prophet Isaiah, because this all happened after Isaiah prophesied it. And then they're recalling God's word and they're thinking, wow, God promises he's going to deliver us out of this mess. And God says it's close at hand. Are we ready? And there must have been great excitement. And there should be excitement among us too. You know, at the end of our text this morning, Isaiah 56, verse 8, we hear these words, "The sovereign Lord declares, he who gathers the exiles of Israel, I will gather still others to them besides those already gathered." So in the Old Testament, God is saying there's awesome things that are going to happen. I'm not only going to bring my own people back out of Babylon, out of captivity, but I desire that others be saved beyond the chosen at this time. God is speaking of the Gentile world. And certainly in the gospel reading this morning, we have heard that as well. And so God desires that all people would be saved. And he does that through the gift of his Son. And we are blessed to live in the fulfillment. We're blessed to lay our heads down at night and know Jesus, to wake up in the morning and know Jesus, to know the cross, to know how great God's love is for us, to know what Jesus has accomplished for us, to know that our lives have been changed by God's grace, by his intervention. And we then have been empowered to have a great change and difference upon the world in which we live. What a huge responsibility, but what a great honor at the same time. And so the Lord says that he gathers his people. Just see the Lord gathering. Remember Jesus looked over Jerusalem and he said, "Oh, how I wanted to gather you as a mother hen gathers her chicks, but you would not." And so the absolute blatant rebellion, and that goes on still today, and I pray it's not you and me. We got to be careful with that. Because God says, "My salvation is close at hand." And you know, my salvation is close at hand and my deliverance will soon be revealed. The eclipse is a reminder to us that drastic things can happen very quickly. They're close at hand. And so is the time when our Lord returns. Only the Lord knows that time, but it could be before the eclipse. Only God knows. Maybe 1,000 years after, we don't know. But we should live as though it's going to be today. Live as though today is your last. And what does that look like for you and me then? Well, it's certainly trusting in God's mercy, having that life of prayer that Mr. Whitney shared with the kids this morning, with all of us. Like that Canaanite woman. Can you imagine the courage that she had? But what gave her the courage was she was banking on God's mercy. "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me." She knew. She was banking on Jesus' mercy. Do you think we can do the same? In whatever circumstance we're in, yes, the Lord wants to come to us. In the same words, "Lord, have mercy on me." In whatever I'm dealing with in life. Maybe it's those things that are close at hand. Those things that can become an addiction in our life. "Lord, have mercy on me. I want to be delivered from this thing that is close at hand to me that's destroying my life." And God has the power to intervene, and he does. But even though we sin and fall short, we live under his mercy. We are forgiven. And we start anew, ongoing, as we live the Sabbath, as God's Sabbath people. But think about those who don't know Jesus. Think about the multitudes in our own community here that maybe have heard something about Jesus or maybe are mad at Jesus. Anyway, they've cut themselves off from the Lord. It shouldn't surprise us to see the hatred that's out there. It shouldn't surprise us to see that people don't know how to cope when someone doesn't agree with them. Who's going to show them? Now, we could march in with a hateful spirit and look just the very same as the rest of the world. But God calls us to be different. We are to approach even our perceived enemies with mercy. And Dan, I think we have that picture. This is at Charlottesville too. See a contrast in the pictures? You have medics that are there helping people that were injured. And what I love is, what do you see at the top left corner? The cross. And you see the church in the background. I'd say that's quite a contrasting scene. And this medic, these medics helping these people, they don't know who they are. They're not asking, well, do you believe the same as I do? And if you do, then I'll help you. No, they see people that are injured. And what are they doing? They're having mercy on them. Look how quickly that scene can diffuse the hatred that we saw in the other scene. And it starts with you and me. It starts in every circumstance that we are in. And it begins by carrying out God's mercy, but then explaining that mercy, to the point that we can be with people that are nose to nose with us, totally opposite, disagree with us on politics, whatever else, and we can look at them and say, you know what, though, God loves you. And that's the big deal. All this other stuff, you know, yeah, those are issues, but the real deal is God loves you and me. Let's start on that common ground. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, let us take seriously the words of our God. My salvation is close at hand. When the close at hands that could destroy our life try to creep in, may we hear those resounding words of the Lord, that He empowers us to turn away from that, not to be conformed, but to be transformed. And when the heat is rising and an argument could break out and a fight after that over who knows what the discussion is, may we hear the Lord's words, my salvation is close at hand, to put us back into the right perspective and context. Let me tell you about God. Do you know His love and mercy? In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and our minds transformed always in our Lord Jesus Christ, whose mercy is beyond what we can ever fully understand. Amen.